Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
9:40 is the time. This is Dean Richards. Sunday morning on WGN, time for The Week in Health. And joining us this week is a regular contributor on our WGN-TV morning news. Dr. Lauren Stryker is in with us today. And Dr. Stryker is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology, Feinberg School of Medicine, senior research fellow, the Kinsey Institute. And Dr. Stryker, always nice to talk to you. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm excellent. Excellent. Just went outside. It's beautiful out for a change.
It is such a gorgeous morning today. I want to touch on a couple of things, but officially, I guess the CDC has officially changed the quarantine procedure now for anyone who may still get COVID. I guess that's good news. What does this mean exactly now?
Well, I think it's really good news. First of all, the change is, instead of having a certain number of days to quarantine, it's really based on your symptoms. You know, when the symptoms are done, when you've been fever-free, then the feeling is it's okay to go out and about. And to me, what this is saying is that, first of all, COVID is here to stay. You know, it's kind of like the flu. And, you know, just as we all need to use good sense with the flu and not go out and expose people and infect people if you know you're still sick. But this really is a big change. It's this whole idea of, okay, when you are at the highest risk for shedding the virus and getting other people sick is when you're symptomatic and when you still have a fever. So this is good. But I think also the other piece that goes along with this is quite frankly, like the flu. I mean, people die from the flu. The flu can be serious. So we shouldn't take this too lightly. And the message isn't, oh, don't worry about it. You know, the flu's that COVID's no more than a cold. It's a lot more than a cold, particularly for people that are at risk. But you know, it just makes it more manageable, I think, and it's a better. And I think also, again, this speaks to things change. People are like, did they get it wrong before? No, they didn't get it wrong before. This, our knowledge has evolved as this infection has evolved.
Right. Yeah, we have to remember that when all of this happened, we knew nothing about this. And, you know, they were making you know, best guess estimates as to, you know, what we should be doing. People were dying as a result of it. And the restrictions that they put in mitigated that and changed it. Now we're at a point where they're loosening things up a little bit, which
doctors still are dying. I mean, let's be clear. You know, it's not as if this is nothing. I think the last statistic I saw was, you know, that something like 10,000 Americans had died from this in the last few months, which is clearly not nothing, but it is not at the scale that it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrifying in the beginning of, you know, seniors, people with medical disabilities, and people who were working nonstop in hospitals and doctor's offices.
I think you may know, you know, I was very sick with COVID pre-vaccine, and I don't have any underlying medical conditions, and I didn't die, obviously, but I was really sick. I was in the hospital, so I do take these things seriously.
Yeah, same with me. I had it, as I like to call it, COVID classic before the vaccine was out there, and it was horrible. It was, I've never felt sicker. So anyway, I'm glad we've passed that up. And already, in anticipation of this segment that we do every week, people start texting in questions already. And still, after all this time, people are still asking questions about COVID vaccines. Where should people be with this?
Recommendation is that certainly people who are over 65, people who are at particular risk for getting very sick or dying, the recommendation is still to get the vaccine. And I can't disagree with that. We have to keep in mind that while we have a comfort level, people still get very sick, people die. And just like every year, get the flu vaccine. No question, get the flu vaccine, and this is going to be the same. And like the flu vaccine, it's going to continue to change. You know, the strains of flu change every year, and they make their best guess as to what they're going to cover, and obviously it's not going to cover everything, but we're going to see the same thing with COVID. You know, I think the difference between flu and COVID, quite frankly, from my point of view, is when you're done with the flu, you're done with the flu. And COVID, we are still figuring it out as far as long COVID. Who gets it? What are the long-term repercussions? That's what we don't know. That's what we have to keep our eye on.
The are there new vaccines now? Are they still updating the COVID vaccines to make themselves most effective toward whatever strains are out there right now?
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. When it's time for a booster, it's not necessarily going to be the same vaccine that you got at the time of your last booster. You know, there's always new mutations evolving. That's the nature of viruses. Viruses are smart. And what they are always trying to do is change to outwit the people who are trying to keep them away. And same with the flu. Yeah, that's what it is. So it's always going to change.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with the flu vaccine every year. Every year, it's a little bit different depending on what strains are out there right now. So
exactly.
We are at the point where the COVID vaccines are very similar to how we take our flu vaccines. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get them while you do your grocery shopping. You can get your vaccines.
Who would have thought that you go to the Jewel and you get your vaccine? But I love it. It makes it easy.
Yeah, I said that.
Easy access.
I said that the last vaccine that I got at a grocery store. And I said, I came here to get, it was like summertime. I came here to get some, you know, some burgers and coleslaw. Come for the burgers, stay for the vaccine. That's how it,
exactly.
How it works. Are you in Austin, Texas right now? Because when I talked to you at the TV station this week, you were telling me that you were getting ready to go to the South by Southwest Film Festival there.
That's right. I'm leaving later this week, and I'm speaking there. You know, one of the things about South by Southwest is, of course, it started off as just a huge music fest. That's what it was known for, especially with lesser-known and indie musicians. And then it has evolved into a much, much bigger event, where not only do they have a huge film fest, but they also have an ideas fest, much like you would see, you know, in Aspen, where they have a variety of speakers on pretty much every topic you can think of. So I am speaking. I'm very excited about that. And I'm going to be in a group of people talking about women's health, including Brooke Shields and Katie Kirk and a number of other physicians. And I'm really excited about this because I've never been to South by Southwest. And well, I'm excited about the film fest, and I'm excited about the people I'm going to meet.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'll tell you what it's like. As film festivals go, this one is really fun. Austin knows how to put a party on. So you're going to have
fun.
Yeah, but
you know, the thing, and you've been, Dean, you've been to South by Southwest, haven't you?
Yeah, many times, yeah.
Yeah, I never have, and I've been to Telluride, I've been to some other film festivals, and the thing that's the most striking to me about this one as I look at the information is how overwhelming it is. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. There's so many things going on and so many things to do that I feel like I have to spend hours just going through the schedule to pick and choose so I don't miss anything.
You'll have a great time, and you will definitely find you know, fun things to do at this conference at which you're speaking. What are the types of things of women's issues that you expect will be coming up? What's the latest and greatest on this?
Well, there's a number of different stages going on, if you will, and the stage that I'm part of is really, really looking at what's going on with midlife women and beyond, menopause, postmenopause, which is one of my areas of interest, and I didn't pick the topics. They asked me to speak on certain topics, but my stage is going to be focusing on sexuality and different aspects of sexuality, and in fact, a number of my colleagues that are going to be there, we're going to I'll be talking kind of along the same lines, but it's actually kind of exciting that people are looking at women over the age of 50, 60, 70, 80, not as just being productive and having families and still working, but also being sexual and having a quality of life, which we expect to go on as long as someone wants.
Yeah, that's that is fantastic. I love also that you talk frequently about menopause, but what I find really interesting is that on your podcast, Dr. Stryker's Inside Information podcast, you are doing something which is called Men on Pause. What men need to know about menopause. What are the biggest things that men don't know about menopause?
Can we start with they know nothing?
Okay. That's a good umbrella topic, I guess.
The truth is, and where this came from, is my husband, Jason, who you have met, he is not a doctor. He is not in anything with medicine. And yet, wherever we go, socially, traveling, when people hear what I do, the guys pull him aside and say, hey, you know, I need some help here. What's going on? Does she not like me anymore? Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to talk to me. She doesn't want to be with me. She's moody. She's never sleeping. She doesn't want to have sex. And so Jason ends up, quite frankly, filling these guys in. And just as the women are really, really looking for information, so are the guys, because they don't know. They're just like kind of thinking, I have no idea what's going on with this person in my life. And quite frankly, we're not just talking about partners and spouses. We're talking about mothers. We're talking about friends. We're talking about in the workplace that suddenly the woman that you knew is not exactly the same as she was, because right. She may be struggling. So, you know, the guys need to understand what's going on just as the women do.
So what do we do exactly? Do we wait to get instructions? Do we try to be proactive at the risk
of...
Well,
in a perfect world, Dean, in a perfect world, every guy would be just as well informed about this as a lot of other things in life. You know, there's so many other things that we are prepared for. I mean, when you're in fifth, sixth grade, what, they dragged you to health class and you learned all about how babies are made and, you know, how girls get periods and what happens with boys. And that was just part of the everyday instruction that most people, depending on where they live and where they go to school, but, you know, it's pretty standard that you get that kind of stuff. And there's no school for, okay, menopause is around the corner and you need to know what's happening here. So the way that I look at the guys is, quite frankly, the same way that I look at it with women. We need to just talk about it. We need to inform people with real information, not the stuff you're finding on TikTok, and not wait to be instructed and not wait for it to kind of hit you in your own home and have things not go well. Because, and I'm not exaggerating, marriages fall apart over this. There are many, many sure. couples that split over this because they don't know. And then they fight, and then they go into avoidance mode, and suddenly they're just saying, I'm done. I'm out of here. So, we got to think about the fact that, first of all, people are blindsided. One of the main things they don't know is how early it can hit. You know, if you go up to your typical person on the street, and I've actually done this. We did one for GM, but then we didn't air it because it was a little bit too dicey. But, you know, go up and say, hey, what time of life, what age menopause hits? And most people are saying, you know, oh, 60. No, it's in the 40s. And so the women are blindsided. The men are blindsided. So that's the number one thing that I want people to know, is it's going to hit earlier than you think. And when you look at life expectancy, most women live into their 80s and 90s. So we're talking half of a woman's life is postmenopause.
Is the best thing to do to ask the woman, what do you want me to do? Because she may tell you, just get away from me and leave me alone. Or she may say, do this or do that. But instead of trying to like feel like I know what you're going through, you don't know what she's going through.
You don't know. You don't know. And I think, to your point, I think your approach is very much appreciated, to say, hey, I've noticed you don't seem to be your best lately. What can I do to help? And then the other thing a guy can do is to say, you know, I'd like to understand this better. Maybe we can learn more about this better. You know, one of the things that actually incentivized me to do this Men on Pause episode is that when I look at my analytics for my podcast, 30% of the people that listen to my podcast are men. And what that tells me is that either women are using guys' computers and it just says it's men, or men really, really want to know. So the way that we're going to structure this is we're going to start this as an episode on my regular podcast, Dr. Stryker's Inside Information. And if it goes well and if we get a good response, then we may just launch a completely separate podcast called Men on Pause. Yeah. And what we're hoping to do is to have men call in with their questions and their concerns, and even just to say what's on their mind, you know, talk about their experiences. Right. And so that, because I'm going to do this with my husband, the idea is that I'm going to give whatever medical information someone would benefit from, but then he can be the voice of, you know, hey, dude, I get this, you know. I hear you, right. And maybe this is a good way to approach it. We'll see. I think it could be interesting. What do you think? Do you think this is a
fantastic idea? I think it's a fantastic idea because guys, no matter how well informed that you think you are, for each woman it's different, and unless you know, you just need to, I think, take your clues from the person who is actually going through it. Who may want your help and may want you in another state at the time when it's going on. So
no,
to have information and again, like that is, I think, would be very helpful.
And also, we just want to hear from people. You know, what's your experience? What do you think? What helped in your relationship? What helped with this person in your life? Because I think that there's a real community of men out there who really want to share their stories. And I mean, who knows, maybe I'll get kicked off the podcast and it'll just be Jason talking to the guys one day. I don't know. But you know, for any guys that are listening, all they've got to do is go to drstriker.com, and that's S-T-R-E-I-C-H-E-R, drstriker.com, and there's a button that says talk to me, and basically you just hit it, and you can give a fake name, I don't care, you know, you can say whoever you want to be, and just ask your question, say what you want, and then we actually use that recording on the podcast and sit there and talk about it. And we're hoping to get to the point that we can have guests like you come on live and you know, kind of just be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I think something like that is so helpful. It's Dr. Stryker's Inside Information Podcast, drstryker.com if you want to get more info on that. And I hope you have the best time at the South by Southwest Festival. I know that you will. It's a fun time, and you're the perfect person to take it all in. Dr. Lauren Stryker, professor of obstetrics and gynecology, Feinberg School of Medicine. Safe travel this week, and we'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dean. Talk soon.